Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. That's Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6. I'm your host, Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans. Our guest today is Ohio adoptive mom and executive director of Host Ukraine, Colleen Thompson. Welcome to the show, Colleen.
Thanks for having me, Sandra.
It's wonderful to have you, and I just love your story and can't wait for our listeners to hear it. So let's kind of start at the beginning. You and your husband, David, have two biological sons who are now in their 20s and six kids, all adopted from Ukraine, placed near and dear to my heart. I have four Ukrainians in my troop. And your adoption adventure actually began when your family hosted an orphan girl from Ukraine over Christmas back in 2005. So let's start there. What led you to host an orphan?
Initially, we were praying about pursuing adoption because of secondary infertility. And we attended some adoption seminars. And, you know, in the beginning, you don't even know where to start. And after one info session, I had heard about a group called FRUA, which was Friends for Russian and Ukrainian Adoption. And they had message boards. And I thought, well, this is a good place to get information. So upon joining that board, within a week, people were messaging about hosting and three children left that needed families for Christmas. And I didn't even know what hosting was. So I made some initial inquiries and showed my naivete. And next thing you know, we were hosting a six-year-old little girl from Zhytomyr, Ukraine. And she arrived a few weeks later to spend the Christmas of 2005 with us.
Wow. And
what kind of a whirlwind.
Yeah. Well, and Christmas usually is anyway, but then you're opening your home and you've got biological sons. And was it a good experience? I take it that it was, because you went on to adopt.
It was wonderful. We initially thought, what's the worst case scenario here? We bring this orphan into our home, share everything we've been blessed with, and over Christmas, it couldn't have been a more perfect time. And so if our worst case was just loving on this child for 1 month, we thought, well, that's a no-risk proposition, really. So we thought, let's see what it's like to have another child in our home with our son Spencer and Harrison and see how it goes. So we initially just thought, we're just going to try this and kind of see what happens. We did not have expectations because we didn't even really know. But once she arrived, we just all fell in love. And it was very clear that our family was poised to be open to more children through adoption.
Aww.
Within a day, we were all talking about how do we adopt? What does this look like for our family? How do the logistics work? We knew nothing, but we really felt, all of us, that this was something we were being led to.
Mm. And then in the spring of 2006, you actually traveled to Ukraine to visit that same little girl, your host daughter, in the orphanage where she lived. Share with us about that experience.
So just kind of one of these crazy, I call them God winks. We had a neighbor who said a woman two doors down from her was Ukrainian-American when we said we were going to host a Ukrainian orphan. So this neighbor that I had just only ever waved to came down and introduced herself, and she was first-generation Ukrainian-American. And so she would stop by and visit us during the hosting, and I could call her if I needed translation help. It was really wonderful. I had never in my life met another Ukrainian, and how was there one living right down the street from me? So in January, when the little girl was getting ready to head back at the end of the hosting, my neighbor said, I'm traveling to Ukraine at Easter to visit family. You should come with me. And I thought, wow, okay. I have never in my life thought I would be on a plane to Ukraine, but that April I was. And it was just because we wound up having a neighbor there, but it opened the possibility for me to go visit this orphanage in Ukraine, because I don't think I would have ever initiated that on my own.
Wow.
So then we, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because you paused there and I wasn't sure what if you were going into the next thing, but when you got there, what was that like? It was your first experience in Ukraine, and then it was your first experience in an orphanage?
Yes, it was my first. I mean, Eastern Europe in 2005 was a little bit different than it is today, but it was very stark and very different, and not being able to read the Cyrillic alphabet, everything felt like, you know, you were clearly a foreigner in a foreign land. But we hired a driver, and he drove us to the region. And I had brought four huge suitcases filled with small gifts for each of the 250 kids at that orphanage.
Wow.
And I walked in the hallway with the orphanage director's daughter guiding us, and my friend, and we were swarmed by children. They came pouring out of classrooms, and it was a free-for-all. And it was interesting. They wanted, you know, to talk to me, touch me, and it felt like what it must feel like to be a famous person, except I was, you know, just a mom from the Midwest. But just to have visitors in the orphanage was a big deal to these kids. And then we were unzipping suitcases in the middle of this hallway, handing out, you know, little small gifts to all the children. And it was like Christmas all over again for these kids. But what really struck me after the initial flurry of activity was all the kids that just wanted to hold my hand or touch me or wanted to pull me down the hall into their classroom to show me their work. And I remember thinking, all these children live here. They have no family. They have nobody to take their artwork home after school and put it on a refrigerator and, you know, show off to their parents. And they have nobody to, you know, hold their hand or go push them on the swings. And so over the course of 4 days that I spent there, God just broke my heart for all these children, and the enormity of the situation, it just kind of paralyzed me. And I felt I was ill-equipped. I was nobody with no training. But I knew God was going to use this. And I think I remember praying, you know, the first night I was there, to please let me unsee this. It was so tragic, and there were so many wonderful kids. And I didn't even know what was going to change in my life, but I was very clear that day in Ukraine that this was kind of a fork in the road in my life, and I was forever changed. And no clue where I was going to be years from now, but it really shook me to the core.
Yeah, I can relate to that experience. It's life changing for us when we have that experience. And you did try to adopt the first little girl that you hosted, and that didn't really work out. But then in 2007, you did adopt two children from Ukraine. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. We the little girl that we hosted was not adoptable, which devastated us. And we almost just left Ukraine and never went back. It was very upsetting, and it took some time to grieve that loss. But in processing that and dealing with that, I realized that God used that initial hosting and this little girl to bring me to Ukraine, which changed everything. And I realized, for me just to walk away because this isn't working out how I planned and how I wanted, was not being obedient to God. So I will tell you, it was difficult. and I had moments of, you know, temper tantrums in prayer, like, I don't want this. But what I came to the realization was that I needed to be open and follow where God was leading me. And I needed to trust that His plan for growing our family through adoption was greater than mine. So I did. So in 2007, we traveled to Ukraine and had a blind referral, which means you don't know the child ahead of time, and you would choose from files there. And we met a little girl from Kramatorsk, Ukraine, who was six, who has fetal alcohol exposure. and chose to adopt her. And it was very clear that there was a need, and she was lovely, and so we said yes. And while I was in region starting that adoption, a nonprofit that I had done some volunteer work with at this point asked me to travel to Boyarka, back near Kyiv, to take photos of a little girl who was being sent to an institution. She had cerebral palsy. So when you're in Ukraine adopting, you have some downtime in country. So I hopped a train back to Kyiv and met our facilitator and drove about 30 minutes outside of town to this orphanage to meet this little girl just to take pictures of her. And they put me up in a little playroom and had me sit and wait. And these two older, like babushka caregivers, walked in carrying this little girl who couldn't walk. And she had big brown eyes and warm brown skin. And she grabbed my cheeks and said, "Mama, I've been waiting for you so long."
Mm.
And I realized at that point I was not there to take pictures, to put on a website to advocate for a family, that I was there to take home a second daughter.
Wow.
And it was very powerful. And so that's my daughter, Vivian, who came home at 5 and is now 15.
And the little girl who you initially were adopting while you were there was Lily, correct? She was 6.
Yes. Yes. Lily was 6.
Yeah. Small world, because two of my sons are from that very same orphanage in Boyarka. Yeah. So
it is a small world. Yes.
It is a small, big country, small world. So,
yes.
So you brought home Lily and Vivian, and that was 2007. And then
yes.
You adopted again from Ukraine, I believe 2008. Was it that quick?
No, 2008. I received a phone. I was volunteering with a hosting program in a nonprofit and raising Vivian and Lily and Spencer and Harrison, and I got a call from a hosting friend, and they said, "We're trying to bring a girl from my daughter's orphanage for hosting just to advocate, and we're going to keep her in Columbus, but we want to send her some other places over the summer to get some exposure to hopefully find this girl a family, because they said she's so wonderful." So I said, "Well, I could take her for a few weeks, and I have a pretty good network here." So we wound up hosting for part of the summer Maria, who in 2007 was just a host girl that I was advocating for. But as we put her on the plane at the end of the summer, I stood there watching her walk onto the airplane, and she turned around and waved at me, and I thought, "Oh no." I was just overwhelmed with the same feeling that I'd had when I met Vivian. And so she and I kept in touch, and I went to visit that winter, and then we adopted her in 2009. And also with her, there's another girl in her region that had been hosted previously several times, never adopted, and the family that was planning to adopt her, they mutually decided that it was not a good fit. So I was asked to advocate for her, and I met her when I was in Odessa and talked to Maria, and Maria said, "Mom, I can share my bedroom at our new house. We should bring her home."
Wow.
And I said, "Are you sure?" And she said, "Yes." So we adopted 16-year-old Maria and 15-year-old Olivia in 2009.
Wow. Incredible story. Just those connections. And you did it again, actually.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a pattern here, Colleen, with your advocacy work, and you just bring everybody home.
I don't bring everybody home because I did the numbers the other night for another interview, and I thought, we're over 2,500 orphans since 2006 when I started volunteering seriously that have been hosted. So when people joke that I adopt all the kids, I don't bring them all home, but I have brought, six home.
So, you have brought six home.
Yes, I did it again this year.
You did it. Well, like we started with the scripture, we started with God sets the lonely in families, and he knows the families he wants to set them into. So you were just called to take sick. So in 2015, tell us about meeting the two boys this time.
So by 2015, I was working full-time in the hosting ministry and traveling to Ukraine to interview children. And 2015, I had been in Ukraine about 12 days, and our facilitator said, we have an add-on orphanage, and we're going to stop there at the end of the day. And we were flying out at 5 a.m. the next morning. So you can imagine after 12 days of bouncing around rural roads in Ukraine and meeting 100 plus kids, you're tired and ready to go home. But we pulled up to this last orphanage, and it was very rural. I mean, in the middle of a field, and got out, and we were greeted with some really sweet kids waiting for us with little signs, and went into a common area and interviewed the children like I had done this entire trip. And they brought in two brothers. And probably by anybody else's account, they were just another sibling group. You know, they weren't standouts in one way or another to anybody. But as soon as they sat down and I started talking with them, I had that feeling. Mm. And I immediately started saying to God, no. And I can't explain it. I can just tell you when you feel it, you know.
Mm.
And those of us that have had that feeling can nod our heads and say, I get it. And some people that haven't yet had it, I would just say, be open to it, because when God places it on your heart, you can't fight it.
Yeah.
So these boys were wonderful. And we got back in the car at the end of the interview. And I said to the other woman who was with me doing the interviews, I can't believe it. And she said, oh, you're in trouble. So I flew home. iPad full of pictures, working on getting kids on a photo listing. And my husband came in the room and I said, sit down. And I said, I want to show you these two boys. And so I explained to him how I had met them and their story and why they just touched my heart so much. And he said, well, that's wonderful. We're going to pray for a family for them, but it's not us. And so I thought, okay, if this is supposed to happen, God's going to have to really move in David's heart. So I put the boys up on the photo listing and just prayed to live with open hands. Just like I did when we lost our first host daughter, I kind of felt the need to surrender it to God and just let it go. And I just had to trust that if they were supposed to be ours, something would change or they wouldn't get hosted. My inner deal was, if no host family stepped forward for these boys by the deadline, then I would know we were supposed to host them. So, of course, right away, a family calls from Utah and said, we want to host those two boys. And my heart sank.
Mm.
And I prayed again, just please, you know, give me discernment and strength to let them go. And I did. And, I was very happy that they had a nice family that was going to host them. So the kids arrived, and they went to Utah, and all the other kids scattered along the U.S. And right after Christmas, I got a phone call, and the family that was hosting the boys said, there's nothing wrong with these kids, but they're not for us. We've always hosted and then adopted girls, and we are a girl family. So we need somebody to pick up these boys.
So they were backing out of even just hosting them the rest of the time.
They didn't even want to finish the Christmas hosting.
Wow.
No, they just said, do you know how energetic, you know, teen boys are? Do you know that they just always want to go and they're driving my teenage daughters nuts? And they said, we're going to fly them back to Chicago tomorrow. Can somebody pick them up?
Wow.
That's what I said, wow.
Mm.
So I walked into my husband and said, here's the situation. And he looked at me and said, I guess you're driving to Chicago. So my daughter Olivia, who had been home a few years at this point, and I drove up to Chicago. And early the next morning, we greeted them coming off an airplane. And I said, do you remember me? And they said, yeah. And I said, because I sure remember you. So we brought him home and just figured we were going to have the, you know, last 2 weeks of the hosting. And I just prayed that we would all be open to whatever happened. So by the time they left, my husband said, I don't think I can commit, but I can say, let's do the summer hosting. So that was the beginning of our journey. And we brought them for the summer, and then everyone was very sure of bringing them into our family permanently. Mm. So it took us a while with their paperwork and adoption status. But we traveled in February to do their adoption, and they arrived home in the U.S. April 3rd of this year. Wow. And have been just amazing additions to our family.
Wonderful. I just want to remind our listeners, this is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and my guest today is Ohio adoptive mom and executive director of Host Ukraine, Colleen Thompson. Colleen and her husband, David, are parents to two biological sons. Spencer's 27 and Harrison is 23. They're also parents to six kids, all adopted from Ukraine. Maya is 24. Olivia is 23. Eli is 18. Lily is 15. Wyatt is 14, and Vivian is 14. Did I get that right, Colleen?
That was good, Sandra.
Oh,
yes.
Great. I have a cheat sheet here helping me out. But all of it started with you hosting one orphan girl in a hosting program, and now you are executive director of Host Ukraine. So tell us about Host Ukraine and how a hosting program works.
So a hosting program is generally set up by a nonprofit organization, which we are, and the purpose of hosting is really not adoption. It can be a wonderful result of hosting, but hosting is opening your home to an orphan for cultural exchange, for respite, basically a nice vacation, and to bless a child in need. So I don't want anyone to think that if you host, you're going to wind up like us with six adoptive children, because there are many families that host that don't go on to adopt. But I will tell you, children that have been hosted are much more likely to find a forever family, even if that's not their original host family. So we've had children who have been adopted by members of the host family church. We have a family in Indianapolis who neighbors in their cul-de-sac adopted their host daughter after meeting her in a hosting program. And a family from Illinois met a girl we brought on a hosting here through a family reunion in Missouri. So you never know how God is going to use you and your yes to hosting to bless this child with a family. And even kids that may not wind up getting adopted still maintain ties with host families, meet other people who come alongside to mentor and support them. So there's many benefits to hosting, and I would say adoption and forever families is definitely one of them. But it's not mandatory, and it's not expected if you participate in a hosting program. So basically, the kids come on a vacation here 4 weeks over Christmas, and then we also have a summer program. So when the orphanages close for the summer, we bring kids here, and they spend summers with U.S. families.
Wow, that is incredible. So when kids come for 4 weeks for Christmas or 11 weeks over the summer, and you're always looking for host families, because this is every year annual program that you do, and you're looking for families all around the United States, especially during the Christmas season. I assume that you're in need of families for this Christmas season.
Of course. I think we have about 30 children left who need Christmas host families.
Wow.
And we do host all across the U.S. We generally fly kids into at least five hub airports. So somewhere on the East Coast, Boston or New York, we fly into Chicago, Atlanta, usually Houston, and then one or two spots, sometimes Denver, LAX, Seattle. So we bring kids across the country, and we have a wonderful network of Host Ukraine team members spread out from New York to Seattle. So we're really able to support families all throughout the U.S. We have quite a few families in Alaska who host, and we hosted twice to Hawaii recently. So if you're in the States, you're welcome to come host with us.
Wow. So how can our listeners learn more about hosting or contact you to get involved in being a host family?
Well, you can visit the website, which is hostukraine.org. They can call us at 717-417-HOST, H-O-S-T, or they can email us at info@hostukraine.org. We also have a very active Facebook page, so if you're on Facebook, just type in Host Ukraine and you'll wind up at our Facebook page, and there's a ton of information there, too, that's easy to kind of read through.
Wonderful. So hopefully our listeners will be inspired to make that call, send that email, and learn more. Colleen, as we wrap up here today real quick, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear from our conversation today?
I think about the word obedience came to mind when I was praying over this this morning about what to say. And I feel like obedience, even in the face of it not being what we want, as a possible outcome. And I feel like there's no doubt that God calls all of us as Christ followers to care for the orphaned. And I would just ask anyone that is considering this conversation just to pray about what does caring for orphans look like for you and your family. Adoption may not be for everyone. Hosting may not be for everyone, but there's so many avenues and so many ways that we can help find homes for the fatherless. And I would just ask that if everybody that's listening would pray about what their role in that could be, we would have a lot more children in homes and not in orphanages.
Amen to that. Thank you, Colleen, for sharing your story and for all that you're doing on behalf of orphans in Ukraine.
Thank you for having me, Sandra. We really appreciate this show and all that you're doing to shine a spotlight on needs of the orphan. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank you, our listeners, for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode of Orphans No More, you can find more on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Just click on Radio and Orphans No More. I'm your host, Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We seek to inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ toward adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry. Contact us at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.